Ron, will you come and read to us, please?
First reading is taken from John chapter 8, starting at verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am from and where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decision is right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. If I am one who testifies for myself, my other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you know me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. Once more Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where am I? Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below, I am from above. You are from this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I have been claiming to be all along," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him I tell the world." They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "Then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him.
Our second reading is taken from Psalm 119. You'll be glad to know it's not the whole thing. That psalm goes on for quite a while. But it's a section of it which is about the fact that the light of God is wrapped up in his word, in his law. So these words are written with the understanding that as we seek God for light, he gives us his word. "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I've taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end." Amen. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He did this during the Feast of Tabernacles. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, there was a huge candelabra like this one that was lit in the temple to remind people that the pillar of fire that led the Jews out of Egypt into freedom. And Jesus says in the midst of this, "I am the light of the world." The sun was also a picture of Yahweh several times in the Old Testament. That's the S-U-N, not S-O-N. The sun was a picture of Yahweh. And Jesus is saying, basically, when he says, I am the light of the world, I am God. And of course, light matters to us. We feel it deeply, especially in places when winter days are short, skies are often grey. And we know how light lifts the spirit. I don't know about you, but I love spring. I love the way that it turns from the darkness and the late nights, or the early nights rather, into late nights. We know that light lifts the spirit, and Jesus says, I am the light. Darkness, on the other hand, disorientates us. It hides dangers, makes us unsure of our steps. Imagine a power cut. We haven't had one for quite a while, but imagine a power cut. At first it feels inconvenient, then a little bit unsettling. You reach out cautiously, bump into furniture, lose your sense of direction. Think to yourself, well, I won't use the kettle, I'll use the microwave. Oh no, I can't do that either. But the moment a torch or a phone light switches on, everything changes. The room hasn't moved, but now you can see. And the first thing I want you to say is this, is the world is a dark place. The Bible often uses darkness as a picture of confusion, fear and sin, separation from God. So when Jesus stands up and declares, I am the light of the world, he's making a bold, life-changing claim. He is the answer to humanity's darkness. First of all, in our world, we live in dark days today. Not just personally, and I'm sure some of you are going through very dark times at the moment, but I'm talking about the world picture with war. Nationalism rising again and again. Rejection of the needy and the poor and the homeless. Starvation, deadly illness, earthquakes and famines. That's just our world. And in our country, we have parties that are demonizing refugees in the press, saying that they are coming here to take our jobs and our welfare and all the other things. Corruption, abuse of children and young people, the rich getting richer while the poor get poorer. That's just our country. And then our town. We know some of the problems this community faces. There's great debt in our community, drug abuse, unwanted pregnancies, hungry families, inability to feed families, loneliness, bed poverty. All these things in our town or city of Leeds. And in ourselves, anger, jealousy, gossip, hatred. We know how much of a rat bag we truly are. We all need light. For ourselves, we talk about he saw the light. In cartoons, we have a light bulb that switches on that tells us that we have seen the light. And psychiatrists will talk about shedding light on our inner selves. We need the light in the darkness. And the Bible says that separation from God is darkness too. And darkness covered the face of the earth when Jesus died on a cross. And darkness fell at the sixth hour. Where there is no God, there is darkness. And in Bramley, we see the evidence that darkness can be very prevalent. It's the basic nature of all of us too. A tendency to dark rather than light. Jesus talked about deeds done in darkness, and I don't think he means they're the things done after light's out. I think he means the fact of those things that we do, which we hide, try to hide from God within our hearts, about the darkness being where we feel most comfortable. John 3 says this, this is the verdict, light has come into the world, but men have loved darkness instead of light, because of their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what he has done has been done through God. We live in a dark place, but that is not the end of the story. There is good news. The good news is that the light has come. Jesus, light of the world. John 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This verse says that Jesus is the light giver. Imagine using a candle to light your way on a stormy night. It flickers, struggles, sometimes goes out altogether. Now imagine them switching on a lighthouse beam, strong, steady, impossible to ignore. Human solutions are like candles. They flutter, they splutter, they go out. They are inadequate for the task. In a storm, we don't need a candle. We need a lighthouse. And Jesus says that he is the light, like a lighthouse in the dark. Literally, light in the darkness. Jesus reveals the truth about God, about the world, and about ourselves. That can be uncomfortable. Light shows us things we'd rather keep hidden. Pride, selfishness, brokenness, and sin. I remember once our neighbours had a squirrel in their roof, and it was in their loft, and they couldn't see it until they switched on a beam of light, and when they did, it scared the life out of them, and they started shouting next door, ah, there's the squirrel, and dived out of the loft. Jesus exposes everything in our lives, all the things we'd rather keep hidden. This exposure is not meant to shame us, it's meant to heal us. Imagine going for an x-ray. The scan may reveal a fracture, but the machine didn't cause the injury. It revealed it so it could be treated. In the same way, Jesus' light reveals sin, not to shame us, but to heal us. For thousands of years, the people of God were waiting for Jesus to come, for the birth of the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one. And the star showed where Jesus was to be born. Again, another picture of light. And wise men were guided by a light. The Bible says none of us have to remain in the darkness because the light has come. John 1 verse 9 says, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. What a realization. What a truth. Darkness is no longer compulsory. Jesus is the light of the world. And what a bright light Jesus is. The very name of Jesus is powerful. The very name is light. Middle of the night, sometimes I have a lamp on next to my bed, which is a touch lamp. And if you touch it, it comes on. And sometimes when I'm flailing in the middle of the night, I will switch on the light. And what a shock that is, especially to my wife, who doesn't appreciate it in the slightest. That's what Jesus is like. His light shines in the darkness. And you mention to people about Jesus and they will shy away like we shy away from light in the dark. Mention Jesus and people will say, oh, I don't go to church because, or I used to believe this was because of guilt installed in people by society. But we're in a post-Christian society and people are no longer brought up to believe the right thing is to go to church. Still, people shy away from the name of Jesus because he is light. Even his name has supernatural power. There is power in the name of Jesus we sing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, when you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present. There is power as we worship together. There is power as we meet together. As the people of God, there is power in the name of Jesus. And then lastly, we are the light of the world. Matthew 5, verse 14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." You and I are the light in the world. If you take a nighttime flight, you'll know what it is to look out the window and see the lights of the ground shining up as individual beacons. And we too, a solitary light, can be a light seen in the darkness from miles away. And we are the reflected light of Jesus. We stand out and are meant to stand out. Recently, we saw the rare occurrence of a supermoon, brightest and best moon. But the moon has no light of its own, it's just reflected light. And we too are the ones that have reflected light in us. These verses in Matthew 5 says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Notice that the glory goes to God, not to us. People may say, and it's been said once or twice, "Paul's a nice person." But I would rather people say what a difference God makes in Paul's life. In first century Israel, there was no light pollution. Instead, a single light from a single oil lamp could be seen for miles. And that's the kind of light Jesus wants us to shine with. How are we to be light? By being different to the world. By being disciples of Jesus, by not being quick to anger, by not being quick to be known as a gossip, by not using bad language, by being known as someone others can depend upon, by following Jesus' teaching, not the world's, by loving everybody we come across. Monday mornings, if you're working, and amongst your neighbours, in your neighbourhood, in your family, we Christians are meant to be different. We stand out from the crowd. And what happens when we do? Jesus says you will receive the following. Opposition. You'll not be popular, but you will be blessed by God. And so we have this commission from Jesus saying in Matthew 5 verse 16, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Israel were chosen to be a light to the surrounding nation. The church, a light to the world. Israel failed because they sinned again and again, and therefore weren't light to the world. But we as Christian church should be a light to the world, individuals and as the church grown together. The church, big C, often fails because we take our eyes off Jesus. We make other things our priority. But when we make Jesus our priority, we can shine for him. You can fill a room with darkness by closing the curtains, turning the lights off. But you can't push light out of it. The smallest flame changes everything. Light doesn't fight darkness. It simply appears and darkness retreats. At the cross, darkness seemed victorious. But Easter morning proved otherwise. The resurrection declares that light always has the final word. So in conclusion, we should shine for Jesus. Jesus' invitation is simple and profound. Whoever follows me, the light is already shining. The question is whether we will step into it. And today Jesus offers us forgiveness for the past, guidance for the present, hope for the future. Let us choose to walk in his light, not hiding, not hesitating, but trusting the one who said, "I am the light of the world." And if you're aware you're not shining for him this morning, if you feel the light is dim within your own heart, maybe you need forgiveness. Maybe you need to change an area of your life that's not as good as it could be. Jesus waits in prayer for you to come to him and get it sorted. Stop hiding your light under a basket. Let it shine forth. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, light of the world, shine into our hearts. Reveal what needs healing. Guide us where we feel lost. Help us where we walk faithfully in your light. May we reflect your brightness, your light in a dark world. For your glory we pray. Amen.